Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, hosted by me, Dr. John Wales. This is the place to be for insurance brokers, agents, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, the place to be for insurance brokers, agents, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Today's expert is a highly sought-after insurance and financial services consultant who specializes in global marketing, distribution, agency building, and technology strategies for many of the world's largest insurance carriers and financial service companies. As a consultant, speaker, and author of 7 books, our guest's mission is to help the insurance industry and its representatives wake up to the radical transformation taking place in the insurance industry. He helps those in the industry learn how to better communicate with consumers so that consumers develop a higher appreciation for the value of insurance products. He is here today to help our agencies by showing us the importance of retooling our business model and how to build a high-performance team. I would like to welcome to the huddle the principal of Korsgaden International, best-selling author and speaker, Troy Korsgaden. I pronounced your name correct.
You sure did, John. It's Troy Korsgaden. You got it spot on.
Awesome. I'm a success already. So, Troy, tell us, I'm asking everybody who's joining our podcast, how did you get involved in the insurance industry? Because I'm finding out many of us kind of fell into insurance kind of by accident, and then we found a home here. So how did you enter the insurance industry?
That's funny you bring it up. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and you're exactly right. A lot of my successful friends landed in insurance as a place to park while they looked for their dream job. And I've got friends that started out in underwriting, ended up running the company, started out in sales, ended up running the company. So it's kind of funny how, like, you and I are the same as a lot of other people. I lucked out. I actually wanted to be a stockbroker. I had a friend that was real successful, a family friend, and I wanted to be like him, but I needed a place to park. And so I went into insurance, and I was hired by the Farmers Insurance Group as a scratch agent. And I just fell in love with the business. I mean, immediately, I've never had a day where I looked at my career and said, I don't like insurance. I wake up every day 35 years later, and I'm just super excited about it. So thanks for asking. I really appreciate it.
It's amazing how welcome the insurance industry makes people feel. I fell into it. My first foray into independent insurance agency, or when I started the industry, I spent a few years as a farmer's agent before realizing that my real passion was commercial insurance. I loved commercial insurance, and I loved large risk commercial insurance and just things that weren't aligned with the farmer's model. But it's amazing how welcoming I felt when joining the industry. I expected that it would be like, you know, in financial services, it's more, you know, boxing ring and who's putting on the gloves. And in insurance, I felt like I was coming home. And I've never left it. I love this industry.
Likewise, John, we've got a lot in common because I also started with the Farmers Insurance Group in 1983. And I was with them as a practicing agent and firm owner for over 30 years. So a lot in common.
Can you tell us a little bit about, from your expertise, some of the things that you're seeing in how our consumers are viewing us? Because we view the insurance industry as very welcoming, and we feel like we're coming home. And the average consumer is looking at us like we're a commodity, or that we're not professionals that we're aspiring to be. So, what is changing in the consumer market that is impacting our industry?
Yeah, so it's a great question to start with because it'll set the foundation for our conversation here. I believe that the consumer is in control today, truly in control. They have the keys to the kingdom, and they never did before. The carriers, our friends, told the consumer when to buy, what to buy, how to buy. And truly today, things have changed. There's a tsunami of change going on, mainly because technology has changed people's perception in the marketplace, not just for insurance, but for everything. And so people are applying the same standards. It's not that they want technology every step of the way. But they want the convenience of when they want to buy, what they want to buy, and how they want to buy. So I think the major change is meeting the customer, the consumer, where they want to connect. And some people want to connect on virtual. Some people want to connect on a cell phone. Some people want to, in the future, I write about this, they're going to want to connect through holograms. And we kind of laugh at that, but you know what? That technology will become scalable, just like virtual is, that we all use today. Nobody 10 years ago would have thought that everybody would be doing virtual calls. Likewise, we'll be doing calls through holograms or going into people's offices or their home with their permission. And just like Captain Kirk, we're going to pop up. But again, back to your initial question, it's that the consumer is in control. And we no longer dictate to them every step, every process that's going to happen.
You bring up a very good point. Our research shows that people will always buy from people. Now, so the so the relationship is still key, but it's the way that we're connecting that is going to evolve and develop. And, you know, I'm not sure our industry is ready for that. I mean, I've seen some dramatic changes. When I first started with Accords, it was, you know, type it in triplicate on my IBM Selectric and fax it in. And then if it bound, you mailed in the form. You know,
that's right.
But we're not seeing that in the industry. Now, you can log in and get it done in a few minutes. So the way that we're connecting to carriers has changed. The way that we're connecting to our insureds, I don't think has changed as fast. I think many of the agencies are still trying to sell to their prospects using smoke signals and carrier pigeons. Do you think that the modern agency will adopt and modernize?
I have no doubt that they will, because the consumer demands it. You either do or you're out. Everybody's afraid of digital. They're afraid of losing business to direct marketing or digital. I fear not, because I'm telling you, we're living in an omni-channel world. We're living in what I call a seamless distribution ecosystem world. It's not us against digital. I agree with you completely, your statement. People buy from people they know and trust. That's a human being. It's not a computer. However, we all are experiencing ease of use, customer self-service. I'll give you an example. I fly a lot. I give a lot of presentations. I do a lot of consulting with carriers around the globe, mostly in America, but I fly just about every week. I used to employ somebody who only did my travel. They got paid a lot of money because it was complicated. It took too much time for me. Today, I repurpose that payroll. And if I'm in an agency, I can repurpose somebody that's doing one task today to do something else. But in this case, my travel. And I can do it. And I'm not a smart guy. But I can do it on a app through American, United. And I can do it while I'm watching a rerun of Law and Order. You know, and I can do it in 5 seconds. 80% of the transactions. 20%. I can't do. It's just too complex, and I need some help with somebody. And they've got some high-touch concierge type of people there at the airline that can help me. But most of the time, I can do it myself. I like customer self-service. Let me tell you why I like it, John. I like it because at the end of the day, after working 12 or 14 hours, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't even want to talk to a nice person. I just want to do it myself. Now, when I want help, I want it the way I want it. And that person, in this case, an agent or a team member that's licensed that works for you, better meet the customer where they want to be met on the technology, the telephony. And technology speeds it all up. But it all has to work together in a seamless, and this is the key word, seamless distribution ecosystem. It's not either or, it's all. So to answer your question, agents, firm owners, team members will all adapt and give the consumer what they desire and have every right to expect, or they're out. It's non-negotiable. And so up to this point, I agree with you. Leaders in our industry, brokers, large firms, carriers specifically, it was lip service. We're going to go digital and we're going to invest millions of dollars, and they did. But now I can tell you, 23, 24, 25, we're working on projects. It's not the money they're spending. It's the energy, the sense of urgency in 2022, so we're ready for 23 and 24 and 25.
As the consumers start adopting this digital form of communication. How do you see that changing the tempo of the market? You're saying it's speeding up, but we're still seeing that the industry is still not as seamless as the ecosystem, as you're mentioning. Because what are some of the tools? I mean, how can we fix it? How can we change our culture to be able to provide that seamless experience?
Well, one way, John, is to get the philosophy right. What is our philosophy if we're a carrier? What's our philosophy if we're a regional broker or a local broker or an agent like you and I started out, just being an agent for one captive or exclusive carrier? It doesn't matter. We're all in the same ballgame. It's just that some of us are in a different inning. So as we think about business itself, what's our philosophy? What's our unique value proposition that we offer? There are some non-negotiables. And in our philosophy, we just have to buy in. There has to be a sense of urgency. Brokers in particular and exclusive agents, because I came from the exclusive world and I still deal with a lot of them and I love them. But the days of going, okay, I got your underwriting information, give me 3 days and I'll get back to you. And then you get back to them in a week and they were forgiving. They're like, I want to do business with you. We worship together. Our kids go to school together. No, it's now, right now. Everything is now, right now. Because that's what they're used to when they get a refrigerator or they get some other type of service. Dentistry is now. It's not 2 months from now. It's now. And so you got to buy into the philosophy, a sense of urgency, and technology helps us. And I think what you're saying is, you know, where do we start? You know, and it's to get the philosophy and one thing at a time. Maybe it's an ID card. Maybe you're a broker and your carrier doesn't offer an ID card through digital. Okay, most do. But if they don't, you need to find a way to get that done. It's an expectation. You know, reporting of claims. Many of our carriers today that we deal with have claims reporting on digital apps. You can take photos and upload them and whatnot. That's the seamless distribution ecosystem. And you're right, John. I'm going to take us back. You're right. Nobody has it done. Nobody. I cannot name one company that has a true seamless distribution ecosystem, but they're going there. Why? Because technology, let's use Amazon. It's the big behemoth. It's anywhere, anyhow, anytime, and they give you lots of choices. It's not about price. And then price is an issue, but it's not the issue. It's convenience and ease. And then if they don't have it, they've got an open platform to be able to say, okay, we don't have it, but go over here. We've got a reseller over here, and you leave the ecosystem and go over to theirs. But they keep you in the ecosystem until that time.
One of my friends worked for Apple, and he said that their main driver is to promote the ecosystem, not a specific product, mm-hmm. but to promote the Apple brand and ecosystem.
That's right.
And as you're saying that, the words keep coming into my mind saying, what kind of ecosystem are we developing? Are we, as a broker or as an agent or somebody who faces with our consumers, what type of ecosystem are we providing to our insured? Mm-hmm. We spend most, I spent most of my time working in the office, you know, I mean, making sure the producers are doing this, making sure we're doing that, making sure that I have my 5 marketing programs all running and not necessarily measuring their effectiveness, but at least making sure that they were running. How do we, and you're right, it's a great mental shift thinking, okay, we need to start thinking of this not only as an ecosystem, but from the customer's point of view. Because many times I get so caught up in my own fishbowl that I don't necessarily think about how the consumer is viewing my agency and if I fit within the insured's ecosystem.
So let's, and I'm speaking directly to carriers, brokers, exclusive agents, their team members. This is all for each one of these groups. Even if you're a $20 billion a year carrier, it is easier for the consumer to deal with one place than 5. They don't have 5 lawyers. They have one main lawyer, and then the lawyer brings in somebody with expertise. They don't have 5 dentists. They have 1. They don't have 4 CPAs. They have 1. Now, you can't be an expert at everything, so you need to have expertise partners. You know, if I'm a lawyer, I don't do wills and trusts. I got to have somebody I partner with. But I don't want my client, my customer, going away from me. I want to be the gateway to all things insurance and financial services. And if I give great service, it gives me the right to offer products and solutions. If the customer thinks of me every time they think of service, everything they think they need, they come to me first, then I can quarterback them either within my own ecosystem or, like Amazon, I can bring in an expertise partner. I didn't say refer them. Bring in the expertise partner, and then I own the customer the way brokers think that everything is today. You don't own the customer if they're out buying financial services from somebody else. You don't own the customer if they're out buying auto and home from somebody else. You may have the big policy, but if somebody else is touching them, then they've got an opportunity to keep chipping away. And I will tell you this as a consultant to carriers. Life companies, financial services companies are partnering with other carriers to make sure that they're that gateway so they don't lose their life and financial services business. Likewise, you have business carriers that go, look, we need to surround the customer so we don't lose our premium, our policies, our customers. So it's, again, back to this mind shift. We got to have the right mindset. And the mindset is to be the gateway to all things insurance and financial services for service and advice. And that equals the opportunity to offer solutions. And we're going to have more increased sales and more increased loyalty. Everybody that's at a carrier level is either moving to this philosophy, and it's the great majority, or they're going to be just a standalone. And I can't name carriers. I work with all of them at some level, some in a big macro, some in a big, you know, minor level. But I'm behind the curtain and I see a lot, and I will tell you there's an arms race, not just to purchase, but again, time. Time is the commodity. There's a lot of money out there, but carriers can't just throw money at things. They got to focus. And so there are some carriers that are just going, hey, we're going to stand alone. But without naming names, you know what I'm talking about. There are carriers that were direct that are opening up contractor offices, not employee-led offices, but contractor offices. And they were direct, and they're doing strategic partnerships. There's a bunch out there now. And I know of others that are in flight. You're going to see the industry not consolidate, but to band together to offer the customer more. And then there are carriers, and again, I can't name them because I work for them, that are doing an awesome job. They're not there yet, but they've got the roadmap. They've got the flight plan, and they're improving very rapidly because the train left the station. If you're listening to me and you're a broker or an agent or a team member, your carriers know this. The train has left the station. The customer's in control. So they're only going to allow us a few, and they'll let us slide a few times. But after that, they're just going to go, I'm in control, and I'll decide what, when, where, and how. And so we've all, you know, it's a philosophy you need to wrap your head around, but you can't wrap it around it 5 years from now. Things have sped up and they're going to continue to speed up. So we need to have a sense of urgency as a whole in the industry. But yes, John, there are people doing it right. There are. I can name as many that are doing it wrong, but they'll get it right because, you know, they're investors, they're stakeholders. They're all going to say, look it. We got billions of dollars at stake here, and we're not going to allow you to take 5 years to get to the consumer's needs, wants, and desires.
So as far as I'm going to get into a little micro-education here, okay. What are some of the ways that you can help us at the ground level? Let me back up here. So we were trained, you know, back in the day, you stand on a street corner and you shout how great you are at everything, and that's what you call marketing. How do we move from being marketing and salesmen to being true consultants and guides and wanting the customers to join our ecosystem? How do we do that? Because that's the number one thing Apple did. It's not the iPad. It's not the iPod. It's not the Mac.
Yes.
It's the ecosystem that they created. And most of all, people want to join that ecosystem. How do we? At our micro level, and I'm talking as far as the agents and brokers, how do we replicate that kind of success? How do we go from, you know, trying to sell via telling to being that guide and walking them into our ecosystem and making them feel like they found a new home?
Yeah, great question. Foundationally, you've got to have a great product spectrum. You got to have the type of products people want. An Apple, great example, Adam. But the product itself isn't alone going to make you one of the most successful businesses on earth. You got to have a great product, and they do. And they're constantly innovating and making sure that the product meets the needs of their consumer. So they're anticipating the customer's needs before it happens. So that's one ingredient to success. The other one is to set up your systems and your processes to align with what you're trying to accomplish. And you've used Apple as an example. I love the example. I have friends at Apple, and you're exactly right. No debate there. So my systems and processes, if I'm a broker and exclusive agent, have to change to meet the needs of the customer. Speed, we talked about that earlier, is one of those. Accuracy is another. I mean, we're inherently, as an industry for the last 20, 30 years, we fail at being accurate most of the time. There's a lot of errors in billing, a lot of errors in issuing policies, and the customer has zero tolerance for errors. You know, they want everything. And sometimes, ridiculous, but for the most part, I want it too. You know, when I buy a car, I want it a certain way, you know, and I want it to be delivered to me in a certain way. And insurance, there's more transactional business. And you and I started back in the day, it was very transactional. Here's your coverage. Here's your price. Do you want it? Here's your coverage. Here's your price. Do you want it? Today, there's four segments of customers. And I write about this in one of my books. Today, there's a new consumer. They're called the discussion partner. And these people don't want to be sold. They don't want to be told. They want somebody that's more of an advisor, a consultant, a discussion partner, to hold their hand, to show them what's out there. And we're not always the lowest. We're not always the highest. But they want transparency. They want to know, well, what's XYZ company doing? What's so-and-so? Well, I don't sell those companies. Well, you still got to know. Because they want to know. We don't want them calling up the competition. We want them to be coming to us as the gateway. So we need to be astute. And I love the competition. Competition is good as long as it's good competition. And so I embrace the other carriers and I want to know what they're doing. But I understand the people that I'm talking to. And it boils down to four segments of people. I simplify everything. There's not 20 or 30 like the marketing experts will tell you. I'm just a simple guy. There's four. And so I've got to have a plan on how to communicate with all four of those segments. And then I've got to figure out what my time availability is. Because if I'm going to meet their needs, I can't spend all the time in areas that aren't profitable, areas that aren't effective and successful. And so it's a loaded question, John. I could talk about it all day, but it really boils down to you're in the second inning in your career, then you need to get to the third. When you're in the seventh, take a seventh inning stretch, but don't take 2 years off. You know, get back in the game for the eighth and the ninth and roll up all your experiences if you're listening to me. Because every day I wake up and I roll up every experience I've had in my life. And I entered into today, and I was darn excited to be here with you today, John.
Thank you, Troy. So you mentioned the four segments of customers, and you started with a discussion partner. What are the other segments?
Yeah, so discussion partner is the new, and it's the fastest growing. It's not the biggest, but it will end up being the biggest. Just mark my words. I wrote this book, Discussion Partner, about 18 months ago. Everybody kind of snickered at me, and it's all coming true. I've written a book since then, connecting the dots even further into the future about what your conversation is with me here today. But the first is a discussion partner. That's the fastest growing. It doesn't matter whether they have a college education or they're making $1 million a year, $100,000 a year, $60,000, $30,000 a year. It doesn't matter. These are people that value advice. They want somebody to hold their hand through the maze of madness. They don't want to be sold or told. They just want somebody to be a discussion partner, and then they'll make the decision that is best for their family and or their business. And we look at both, their family and their business, because we can't have one or the other. If they got a business, we got to have it all. We got to be that gateway. Secondarily, the relationship customer, that's the second one, John, is how you and I grew up. And probably everybody listening, whether you're working for a carrier or whether you're a broker or whether you're an exclusive agent, or a team member, you probably grew up in this era where people buy from people they know and trust, and that's your friend. And you go, you worship with them, or your kids go to school with them, or you grew up and went to school with them, and they just hand you the business and say, look it, man, I don't want to be sold, and just tell me what I need and I'll do it. And that's how we all built up this business, this great industry, almost, you know, $1 trillion in money, $900 billion or whatever it is. I mean, it's huge. It got there because there were just a lot of people on the front line that people go, okay, Troy, he'll do me right. John, he'll do me right. Mary, she'll do me right. That's a relationship. It's the biggest pool of customers today, but it won't be in the future because there's going to be changes. The third group is the kids, the children of all the relationship people that we wrote. I wrote them because we went to high school together, or we're in Seroptimus, or we're in Kiwanis, or whatever. We write them because they trust us. But their kids used to come to us. I used to kid when I would do my live shows, and I'd say, my daddy was with State Farm, his daddy was with State Farm, and his daddy's daddy was with State Farm. And they just came to us because that's the way you did it. You know, they said that to me at Farmers. They might have said it at Erie Insurance, or they might have said it at Travelers or Safeco or whatever. You know, there's a lot of great carriers and a lot of great people representing them, and the kids just went. And about 10 years ago, they quit coming. Why? Because they had choices. People can choose when they have choices. And if you only have one choice, well, I trust Troy and he'll do it right. Today's consumer is a kid, you know, 18, 20, 30. They don't do what their parents do automatically, but they will if you give them enough reasons. So you got to get the kids today. If you want to stop that bleeding of losing the children of the good insureds that you have, get to know them before they get a job. Get to know them before they inherit money. Get to know them before they take over the business. This all sounds, you were in brokerage and you know what I'm talking about. You've got a great account, their kid takes over, Jane or Tim takes over, and you lost the business because they have a friend over at such and such, or they were on the internet and they heard something negative about you or whatever. So we say with this third group, go out and get them before somebody else does. They use the internet, so does 80-year-old. So does a 60-year-old like me. I use the internet to check it out, but I still want somebody to hold my hand if they give me enough reasons. The fourth group, John, is price shoppers. And I'm not against price shoppers, but I want the right ones because they're split into two. The price shopper who just wants price, they're not for me. I'm an advisor. I'm a discussion partner. People pay more to get advice from me. They know it. I tell them, I'm not the lowest. I'm not the highest. You pay for the value, and this is what it's going to be. So it's not about I'm $20 high, $200 high, or in a business insurance policy, John, I might be $100,000 high. They're going to buy from me. Not every time, but they're going to buy because I positioned it not as price, as advice. Now, the other half just want price. They're not my market. They're weeders and speeders and they're drunks and punks. And that's just not my market. There's a place for them. I have expertise partners who deal in that type of insurance and I let them handle it. That's not for me. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to help somebody that has an issue, but if they don't want advice and they just want to get a policy, that's not for me. So again, the four segments are discussion partner, relationship, the kids of the relationships, and then the price shoppers. Those are the four. And so we just work really hard at identifying which of those segments we want to do business with, because as a philosopher says, there's only 24 hours in a day. And so we got to get from the day, not through the day. So we got to be on the offense, John.
I agree. We need to be adapting in the markets. When you mentioned the discussion partner, I started thinking over examples, and I realized that is when I really started growing my agency. I developed a niche, and then I became the subject matter expert. But
yes,
guess
yes.
What? I never tried to sell them. I never, you know, oh, you need to close at least five times. And I never got into that. It was more, okay, let's have a discussion. What are your concerns about your business? Tell me about your business. You know, I'm sorry, but unless I know you, I can't insure you correctly. So if you don't want that part of the relationship, and if you don't want or trust my advice, you can go somewhere else. And I've told, I actually told people that. And when I had that courage to say, hey, listen, this is how I'm going to tell you no, and this is why. And I rode the train with them. I brought them along with that journey. And I learned that, and that's when I really started. Not only did I grow my agency, right, with one customer, but then I started getting referrals from other mm-hmm. like-minded people. Because mm-hmm. yeah,
yes.
The dirty little secret in the insurance industry is that, guess what? Other industries all talk to each other. If you're how yeah. many agents are in your Facebook group? How many friends of yours are in the insurance
industry? Right.
And I will tell you, casino owners, and that was my main point, guess what? Casinos owners talk to other casino owners.
They sure do.
So once I created that discussion partner and that relationship, and I developed their industry trust, that's when I started growing my agency. So it works. I mean, the providing that ecosystem and that knowledge definitely helps. Now, if we can just combine that with the modern technology to get that a seamless ecosystem, imagine what that's going to do to our business.
Yeah, I want to echo what you said. You pivoted and you became an advisor, a counselor, a discussion partner. And they said to you, John, what do I do? This is after you found out about their business, their desires, their wants, their needs. And they go, John, tell me what to do. They don't go, how much is it going to cost me? You tell them what to do, and then you say, this is what it's going to cost if you want to do it with me. And we learned that in life insurance. I sold a lot of life insurance in my career. I loved life insurance. But I never sold it to anybody. They always said to me, Troy, how much do I need? And that was the starting point to be able to have a really meaningful conversation and end up having a meaningful experience. So I think you're spot on.
I just hope that we as an industry learn that it's all about the relationship, that the ecosystem that we're creating is all about the relationship and the focus on the real needs of the insured. Because
yes,
I'm seeing in the agents that I work with, run the gamut. We have people that relationship is king, and then we have a group that, you know, to them an insured is like a can of beans on the shelf. And I'm seeing the industry divided into two groups. There's one that's a commodity, and the consumers are going to treat you like a commodity, and you'll attract those kinds of insureds. And then I'm seeing the relationship. And I'm seeing the relationship grow and grow and grow. And those are the agents that I see succeeding and doing less churning and burning. And
yes.
And everything you said is on point, and that backs up the observations that we're seeing in the industry.
Yes.
So you said that the industry is eventually going to get to a seamless ecosystem. We mentioned how we need to be doing things fast in our agency, and we need to develop the tools in order to do that. Now, how do we take that culture, understand that culture, adapt that culture, and then create it within our agency?
So I think leadership is one of the, you know, we're always in transition in life, right? From the day you're born to the day you die. Great companies, great organizations, you know, whether it's a culture of 2,000 employees or two, you need to work on your leadership skills. People follow the leader. And I think that's one of my personal strengths is I get people not excited, because you can motivate people with and have the wrong plan. You just speed them up to the wrong destination, as the saying goes. But having the right plan is important, but also you're a mirror. And so your people see you having a sense of urgency. They see you as leading with the relationship and not the transaction. You know, the days of here's your coverage, here's your price is over. You know, there will be people that want just the transaction, but it's not for us, because we can't make a profit just doing one thing. If you're an agent, if you're a broker, even if you're a carrier, one-hit wonders aren't going to be as profitable as being the gateway. So leading people and that, you know, keeping a great culture, I'm glad you brought that up. Many of the carriers I work with are not looking at their culture. It doesn't mean that just because we did it this way for 20 or 30 years, we need to keep doing it that way. We need to celebrate our success. That's part of culture. But the culture also has to say what we did in the past isn't going to be the future. And so if we want to be out there in the future, we've got to be something more. So one of the things that I promote, and I'm happy to share an article I wrote, is on a learning culture where everybody is learning, they're growing. And when we look for team members, when we hire people, whether they're executives or whether they're just entry-level intern-type positions, they got to have a good attitude, number one, and they got to want to grow. And one of the things that we believe in growth is in learning. Our customers expect more, they demand more, and they will continue to do so. So we need to up our learning. And marketing is great, but if you don't understand your product, you don't understand how the claims works, you can't communicate it right, you know, you got to learn these things. And I could go through all the skill set that I think is important, but as we're getting close to our time here, you know, I just would boil it down to leadership. If you're the best you can be as a leader, most people will follow you and they'll want what you got because they see it and they just go, this is awesome. I want it.
I got to meet with Jeff Bezos. I asked him, hey, can you give us one piece of advice? And he said, always assume you're part of the problem because half of the time you'll be right.
Yeah. At least half of the time. I agree.
So as we're winding up, what bits of advice can you help our agencies absorb the information that you've given us and to help them modify their business model if they need to and help them really grow their agency the right way?
I'm gonna give you a hot tip. I'm going to answer it this way. I'm going to give you a consulting tip, something that I learned over 20 years ago. I remember where I was. I don't remember the person who said it. But I was sitting in a chair in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and a guy leaned over and he says, we're going to learn a lot of stuff today, kid. But if you don't do anything with the information that you got within 72 hours, you're never going to. And so I just really always had this sense of urgency to block time. And I took it to a whole new level. 15 minutes on an issue every day. I might have three or four issues. I might have one. But if the issue is important, like a learning culture or doing a review, which, by the way, is going to be, you're going to see way more emphasis put on reviews in our industry. It's old, but it needs to be updated. And so if that's important to your firm, to your carrier, wherever you're at, if you're the owner or whether you're part of a big organization, be committed to blocking time on self-development to think with no phone ring, with nobody talking to you. You're not in front of a customer. You're not making a sale. Just think about the issues that are important and then block another 15 minutes if it's important. And then if it's important, block another 15 minutes a day or a week later. And then start to execute, because ideas without execution truly are meaningless. Execution is everything. And so get in that habit of blocking time. And so if leadership is your big hot button right now, then I want you to do it. Block 15 minutes. If the segments, you think there's five or seven, you can't figure it out unless you block time to think about it. Reviews, block time. You know, and not all at one time for every issue. Block time on one issue, and 15 minutes is very valuable. And it all adds up into greatness.
One of my friends told me I was my own blocker to learning new things because I would feel stupid. I'm like, okay, I feel stupid. And then he said, stupid is good. Feeling stupid is ignorance leaving the body. I am probably the idiot in charge, but I plan on learning new things and growing. So
good for
I
you.
Hope our agents out there really take the time, listen to the podcast, listen to what we discuss. And there's a lot of information here that can help you develop the agency of the future. Don't work on developing the agency of the past. If our agents would like more information, could you tell us how they can find you, how they can read your books, and how they can get your help?
Sure. It's CorsGaden.com. Let me spell that for you, John. CorsGaden.com. A lot of free information on the website. There's books and there's seminars and different things. But You know, look, giving starts the receiving process. Let's engage. You can email me at my private email, troy@coorsgodden.com or support@coorsgodden.com, either one. And my team is just like you, John. We want to give back. And so, yeah, there's things for sale, but I would say go to the website and take the free stuff first. There's a lot of good free stuff.
That's it for this edition of the Insurance Huddle. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, be sure to check out our Facebook page and Medium blog, linked in the description box down below, for more great resources. This podcast has been brought to you by CoverWallet for Agents, the easiest way for insurance agents to quote, bind, and service their small business clients. All online and in minutes. Check us out at coverwalletforagents.com.